Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for What's Up, starring Jack and Dick Watts, the dynamic duo of deplorables who come to you each and every week to teach you about truth, justice, and the American way. And the American way is in a heap of trouble, folks. Oh, my goodness. We've been doing this show. Well, I started before without my brother, but we've been doing it for quite a while, but for 10 years. And I don't think I have ever seen anything. And we've seen a lot to witness what is going on in the United States of America today. It's scary. It drives you to your knees if you're a person of faith. I'm not afraid for me personally, although I'm in a high-risk category. I'm more fearful of what might happen where long-term economically, and I'm also fearful that there will be people, mindless people, who will piss out on President Trump when it's not his fault. I have friends who I've seen on Facebook, Facebook friends, people that I know, because I still have numerous people that are really diehard liberals and progressives, and I think it's important to have some people like that to where you hear other voices. But they have been longing for the economy to collapse because it will hurt President Trump. To them, it doesn't matter that it hurts everybody else, just as long as it undoes what he does. They're more interested in, quote, getting Trump, unquote, than they are in the prosperity of the American people, than the health of the American people, than the ability for us to just live our lives and pursue what we're pursuing. Their goal is to get him, and they don't give a damn how much pain it causes anybody else. That is not only psychologically unhealthy, it goes beyond being the loyal opposition. When your desire is to bring down the nation, I don't know how you can justify that as any kind of Americanism. Now, I wanted Barack Obama to fail because I thought he was, he's a globalist. He doesn't put the United States first, which Trump does. And I thought that his policies of going around apologizing to the United States, of appeasing, of paying for things that we shouldn't have paid for, stabilizing the military, just a bunch of things, were very poor. But I never wanted to see everything collapse just to get rid of him. I felt like we could vote him out in 2012. I voted for Romney, and poor Romney has turned out to be a very, very poor choice. But he was better than Obama. You know, I mean, that's and frankly, that's kind of how people have voted for Donald Trump. Is, well, he's not Hillary Clinton. Got into office, he made a bunch of promises, and I supported him vigorously. He wasn't my first choice. I wanted Ted Cruz, strong constitutionalist, but he couldn't compete up north, and I knew we had to have states up north in order to win. So I eventually went to Trump and was glad that I did, even after the stuff with, you know, when the Hollywood Access tape and all of that. It was very, you know, that was difficult. But he was better than Hillary. And I kept thinking, okay, the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court, and the judiciary. Trump gets elected, and along with many, many others, I had a significant part in helping him get elected. Many others helped, obviously. This is not just Jack Watts, and I don't want it to seem like it is, but I did my best, along with so many others. We were able to do it. And Trump got in, and he, just being completely candid with you, if he had just done or attempted to do a third of the promises that he said, I would have been satisfied. Because I'm used to politicians saying that they will do one thing and then get elected and just do whatever they want to do. It's a given. They aren't trustworthy when it comes to telling the truth about what they say they will do. And I'm used to conservatives not being very conservative. That being the case, I was surprised and have continued to be surprised by how vastly President Trump has gone about doing everything that he told us he would do. Now, the people on the left, they say, oh, he's a liar. He lies all the time. He's a liar. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Does he brag a lot? Yeah. You know what he is? He's a New Yorker. They all do that. I grew up in Boston. I know what New Yorkers are like better than anybody, because they're our number one rivals in sport. There are things about New Yorkers that just irritate the living you-know-what out of me, and you, and everybody else. That being the case, you know, he's a New Yorker, always been a New Yorker. They brag. They overstate. They do stuff like that. It's no big deal. It just comes with the turf with a New Yorker. And they're not nice with people they don't like. And they tell them immediately. In the South, you just don't do that. You're not like that. He is. He's from New York. It doesn't bother me at all anymore. I mean, I'm used to it. And some of the things, quite frankly, are funny. I mean, really funny. I remember the first time when he was at the UN and he referred to Kim Jong-un as Rocket Man. I mean to tell you, I started laughing right on the spot. It was hysterical. Rocket Man. And then, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago, he was having a rally someplace before the coronavirus, you know, came about. We didn't even know what social distancing was. And he said, I've had it up to here with Mike Bloomberg, and he put his hand about midway in his chest because Bloomberg is so small. I promise you, I thought I was going to burst a gut. It was so funny. I love those kind of things. It doesn't bother me. It does bother some people, and they can't get past it. I think that's sad. But I understand it. Politicians are very adept at subterfuge, not exactly telling you what's happening. And Trump always puts the best possible face on things. I appreciate that, particularly in with the coronavirus thing going on. It's tough. We need a leader who is positive. It's hard right now in our nation. We're the third largest number. We have the third largest number in the world of people who've been affected. Well, you may say, oh my God, we're number three. That's awful. Well, we're also the number three nation in the world in population. So it's kind of normal. Italy, by way of contrast, is number two. And it doesn't have as many people as there are in the South. And they've made a determination that they won't put people who are 60 years and older on ventilators. They're only going to try and save the young. That's what you get with socialized medicine. 60. Not 85. 60. 60. 60 years old. That's not old. 60 is the new 40. That's what those of us who are over 60 tell ourselves anyway. But there's a lot of truth to it. People don't get as old now as they used to, or as fast. It just, you know, thank God for our medicine. That's the way that works. Now, coronavirus is concerned. And you look at it. Right now, essentially 500 people have died in the United States. Oh, my God, 500 people. Well, the flu's taken many more people than that so far. So it's like, why is the news about this 24/7? Because there's more to this than we really know. And I think that there is a possibility that the reports out of China are so badly skewed that this, instead of there being 10,000 deaths or whatever it is, that it may be in the millions. And if that's the case, is happening is really well-founded. In all of our preparations and our social distancing, being sequestered, it's also, I fear, all for naught, because the spring breakers all went to the beaches in Florida. And I'll have been coming back home this week. And all of our precautions will be for nothing, because they will bring the whole thing to all of the states that are north of Florida. I hope I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm not. But I do hope I'm wrong. And concerned that the entire health system is going to be so burdened with this that it will be brought to its knees as badly as our economic system has been brought to its knees. The Dow is in the 18,000s now, just a little bit lower than when, really about how what it was when Trump got elected. It went up immediately the last couple weeks of the Obama administration in anticipation of Trump rolling back regulation and everything, which he's done. Now, there will be many who will say, well, look at what he's done with the economy now. When the truth of the matter is he has done a phenomenal job with the economy. And this is something, but this is something that could not be foreseen, planned for, anticipated, or anything else. It's almost like it has been engineered to do what the Russia hoax could not do or impeachment could not do, and that is to bring down President Trump. Am I saying that I know that it is? I do not. But because it comes from the specific area where biological testing is done, biological warfare testing is done in China, I'm concerned that there's a possibility and that this is a manufactured disease that the Chinese would let out on their own people in anticipation that it would kill some, maybe many, but they got a lot of people, so that it would eventually get to the United States and repay them, us, for their economic downturn that has come about because Trump would not cave to them like the other presidents have. Do I know that this is true? No. Do I have any evidence that this is true? No. Nothing that isn't just the kind of conspiratorial stuff that you get from QAnon and people like that, that I don't put a whole lot of credibility in. They're just kind of a little too far out there for me. But I think that it's definitely within the realm of possibility. Now, we had in the world, they had the first 100,000 cases. It took all the way to, you know, the about the 3rd of March. Then by the 10th, it was 200,000. And now just a few days later, it's over 300,000. So that exponential growth that we all fear is happening. It's happening in the United States, happening in China, definitely in Italy, Spain, Germany. The only nation so far, only big nation that has done really well with it is South Korea. They have been able to flatline it to where they have not exponential growth. And of course, that is the reason for the social distancing. But it's not something that young people do very well. They're invincible. They're immortal. They're thoughtless. And they've been trained to be thoughtless. They've been trained to be selfish. Very selfish. Thoughtless. And that's what they are. Saturday, it was magnificent in Atlanta. Just beautiful. I took a short walk a couple of blocks from where I live. There's a bunch of large apartments, and there's a common area that people usually use for just walking their dogs and let them go to the bathroom, and they pick it up, and that's it. You know, that's what that whole area is for. There had to be 500 people on it. Like, it was, you know, they couldn't go to the beach. They couldn't really go do it on Piedmont, down at Piedmont Park or anything like that. So they did it right there. And I thought, there's no social distancing at all. There were a bunch of guys that were playing soccer. And the only reason they were playing soccer is there weren't basketball goals, if they'd been playing basketball. Now, I understand that. That's, you know, when I was their age, that's what I would have wanted to do too. And you have all that pent-up energy. Energy that I would love to still have all the time. I have a lot of energy, but I'm not in my 20s. Those days have gone. No social distancing. Person there gets it, then hundreds are in contact with them. In Washington, I believe it's 7 of our senators now have to be quarantined, and they can't vote, and they can't be physically present for the safety of everybody else. So what? 6 of them are Republicans. So what does it do? It effectively makes Chuck Schumer the head of the Senate for this short period of time because of the health of these Republican senators. And just wouldn't you just know that that's sleazy, nasty, vicious old man is using his just 1 ounce of power to keep the United States from passing legislation that is necessary to help the American people. Our economy has stopped. Dead in its tracks. Not because of anything that's wrong, but because of necessity, where the coronavirus is concerned. And Schumer is not helping the American people. Why? He wants to get Trump. So does Pelosi. People in their caucus are willing to work with Republicans. Lots of them. They know the situation we're in. But they're being held by the leadership of their party to put the goals of anti-Trumpist Schumer ahead of what is in the best interest of the people of the United States of America. This is beyond reprehensible. It's as poor a leadership as you could possibly have. And yet, Pelosi's in charge of the House, and because of the 6 Republican senators that are away due to illness, there are more Democrats now than there are Republicans, and Schumer is just exploiting this for his own purposes. Disgusting human being that he is. Remember this. Remember it in November. Opportunity to vote comes about. There'll be people that'll say, well, I don't want anything like this again, so I'm going to vote for Biden if he ends up being the nominee, which he should, but we'll see, because, you know, dementia's just taken over. And, you know, when they put him up on the stage against Donald Trump, Trump will eat him alive. But, you know, we'll just see what happens. I'm not at all convinced that he's going to end up really being the nominee. And we're seeing Andrew Cuomo on the TV every day for an hour. They throw him up there. Like, what's happening in New York? Everybody in America is just enthralled with what's happening in New York. I think that they're just trying to elevate Cuomo because he is a genuine leader. I don't disagree. And, you know, he does have extraordinary communication skills. I don't believe in his belief system at all, but he definitely would be a more formidable choice than lightweight Joe Biden. We'll see. We'll see about all of this stuff. It's been a very, very hard time. It's going to be a hard time for a long, long time. And this is just like the first week of us having to kind of not work and stay at home. Hard. Hard on everybody. On Facebook, I put up lots of little funny things if I can, because anything to just take away from this debilitating contagion that has been foisted upon us, whether purposefully or not. And I don't say purposefully like I know it. Because, you know, I just want to say that one more time, because I don't. Nevertheless, we're resilient. And it is for such a time as this that we have been redeemed and left on this earth by Almighty God to stand as a witness for good for him who do not know him, can see the difference and be blessed by it. That's our goal. That's our job. That's our purpose. We have no other. And we'll get through this. We will. We'll rebound. And I believe that by the fall, we will be as strong as we can possibly be. And I also believe that some of these Democrats are going to pay a terrible price for what they have done to the American people when we were down. They have kicked us. And that's not right. At any rate, we're done for today. Talk to you next week. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Bye-bye.